Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Off the Shelf for this beautiful, beautiful Saturday, April the 10th, 2010. I am your host, Denise Turney. I'm also the author of the book, Long Walk Up. Please stop in and visit me online today at www.chistell.com and pick up a copy of Long Walk Up or one of my other books today. I am so happy to be coming to you live from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And today I am just honored. I am so excited to bring Joy Farrington to you. She is a woman on the move. She is a dynamo. Joy Farrington is the founder of the Nubian Literary Network. She is the president of the Nubian Sisters Book Club. And as a book club expert, she has written and released a book titled, and I have it right here in front of me, A Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fab Book Club Meeting. And Joy is online at Nubian Lit, N-U-B-I-A-N-L-I-T, network.ning.com. That's her network. And she's also online. She has a fabulous website at www.nubianlit, again, that's spelled N-U-B-I-A-N-L-I-T.com, nubianlit.com. Go check her out. Welcome to Off the Shelf, Joy.
Thank you, Denise.
I'm so happy.
That was great.
I'm so happy to have you here with me. I see you on Twitter, and you what you're doing on your Ning Network and with your website, and you just did a fabulous job. I wasn't going to ask you this, but now that I said that I am, did you create your website yourself? You got a really, really nice website.
Yeah, I use the WordPress theme, and I worked it from there. But yeah, that's me.
Okay. You did a good job, I got to tell you. And the information that you have at your website, I haven't found anywhere else, which is a good way to make your website sticky and to have people come back, because you have unique things there, news items and things on different authors and books, and your interviews that you do, which I want to talk about, information on those. And for our listeners here at Off the Shelf, Joy was able to grab an interview with Nikki Giovanni. So she is, again, a woman who's upwardly mobile. I want to thank you for all you do, Joy, for books and writers, literacy and community as a whole. I really appreciate what you do, what I've learned that you do over a few months that I have known you. Before I get into talking about your book, I wanted to ask you, how were you when you realized that you absolutely loved books and would spend your life doing some type of work around literature?
Well, I was... when I first started to read, I knew I loved books, but I didn't know I was going to do something with it as far as business-wise until my late 20s. So about 5 years ago, I started to actually get into the business of the literary world, because as far as I knew, you were either a writer or editor, and that was it. That was the only way you could get into the literary business. And then as you started the book club, go ahead.
Was your family, a book lovers? I'm always interested when I talk to people who get in various fields. Sometimes it's their family member, a mother or a father, who helped spark that, or they were just maybe the first one who did it. Was your family, did you like read books as a family? Did people read to you either before you went to bed or something that might have helped spark that?
Yeah, my mom and my grandma are both book lovers, and I used to get books as presents, which I loved. But no one in my family started a book club. Matter of fact, none of my friends either. I was the first one in my group to actually get a book club going.
Okay, and when did you first join a book club? Did you join one first, or did you just come out of the box and say, let me start my own and then get some people to join the club? Or did you join somebody else's book club and then learn a little bit about the foundation of how that works first?
No, I started my own. I just went out of the box and started to do it. I was... inspired to do it after I went to a conference about, doing your passion. So from there, I got the idea, let me start a book club. And then when I started, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'd never been to a book club meeting before. I had no idea what the concept was. So I had to do a lot of research and put it all together. And like I said, that's when I started to realize there was more out there in the literary world, when I started doing research on the internet.
Okay. And your book club has been around for how long? The oldest one?
I think we started in 2003,
2004. Okay. Oh, so 6-7 years, which is a long
time. Yeah.
And then as we talk about more about your book, a lot of times book clubs, like a lot of things, they start off with a lot of fire and a lot of steam, and then over about a year or two, they just kind of dwindle off. You go from 10 members to 8 people showing up to 5 to 2. Let's just fold this up. So the fact that you're able to, not only did you write this book, but for our off-the-shelf listeners, Joy, you know, her book club has been around for 6 to 7 years, which tells us that not only did she write it, but she knows how to keep it going and how to make it work. If you could just share with us what a few of those first book club meetings were like.
They were okay. They were, you know, I got a lot of information from the internet, like I said before, and I followed that format, so it was kind of starch a little, because it wasn't us, you know. I was following what other people were saying to do, you know, and stuff like that. But then by the third meeting, we were like, okay, we naturally started putting our own stuff into it. We started doing games and activities and reading books that we enjoy doing, and the more meetings we had, the more fun we enjoyed, and more members started to join as well. And from those first few meetings, it always left an imprint on me. And when other people asked about starting a book club or running a meeting, I let them know, you know, there's other ways to do it. It's not just a matter of you come in and you read the book and you eat and you leave. There's so many things you could do as well.
Yeah, so true. And you mentioned a lot of these things. And A Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fab Book Club Meeting, which for our listeners was released earlier this year. So, excuse me?
No, I was agreeing with you, yeah.
Yeah, so you...
in January.
So you're getting a new book, a brand new book hot off the presses, and she has over 100 Book of the Month suggestions here, and she has resource guides, agenda templates in her book. But this is what caught my eye at first. And I wasn't expecting this when I read A Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fab Book Club Meeting. You go all the way back historically that African-American book clubs have been a part of our culture for hundreds of years. And I was like, wow, when I read that. And then you even give some history, like when in 1827, the Society of Young Ladies being created in Lynn, Massachusetts, was the first documented African-American literary society. And then you referenced the book We Are Your Sisters, Black Women in the 19th Century. And then a female literary society that was held their first meeting in Philadelphia, yay, in September of 1931. Where did you, oh, my goodness, of all the books I've read, of all the reading I've done over the years, I never come across anything like this. But then again, I wasn't hunting for how African-American book clubs, the history on them. Where did you find this information? I think it's fascinating that you included that in your book.
Yeah, actually, I found it on the internet. I'm really good at Googling. I call him my boyfriend. Because whenever I'm in doubt, I just Google it. And I had a general idea of book clubs, the history of book clubs. Like, I know there's a book club, I can't remember the name right now, that's over 100 years old, that's still running. But
wow.
I didn't know But the details of it, it was when I was writing the book that I found out specific details, and it was right there on the internet.
You said that it's still running?
There's this one book club, again, I wish I could remember the name, that's been around for 100 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. That is amazing. That is amazing. And other book clubs that Joy mentions in her book, for our listeners, A Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fab Book Club Meeting. And you can get her book at Amazon.com and other bookstores, or you can even just go to her website, www.nubianlit.com, N-U-B-I-A-N-L-I-T, to find out more about her book. But you also mentioned the Ladies Literary and Dorcas Society, which was formed in the 1800s, and then you connect that to, you know, one of the largest, if not the largest, book clubs around the day. I don't know if it's so much a book club, but I know she recommends, which would be Oprah's. And when she recommends a book, we know what happens when she does that. It really takes off.
What's so fascinating with Oprah's Book of the Month is actually, even though it's not a national book club, a lot of book clubs adopt her book of the month, and they follow her book of the month. So whatever book she chooses, she's reading that month, they read, you know. And she has reading guides online, so it's like she almost have little book clubs throughout the nation with different names, but they're all following her.
When you had your first book club, for the first early meetings for your club, or even now, do you have guest authors who come in and do readings and signings? This is something I know, something that authors really love to do, is to come to get with a book club, because you have a larger audience, and generally there's not a vendor's fee. Like if you go to an author's book cultural festival or fair, authors tend to have to pay a vendor fee, and then they, you know, can read from their books and sell and sign their books. But if you go to a book club, there's usually no you don't have to put out no money, no expenses associated with it for the author. And the book club members get to see the author in person. They get to ask some questions about the book and get direct feedback. So do you have authors come on and do readings and signings at your book clubs? And if you have, who are some of the authors who've made appearances at the Nubian Literature Book Club?
Well, the first one we had was Shonda Sheets. We read her book, Meta's Man's Wife, and we just so happened that she lived in Miami. So I emailed her, and we had we arranged a time to meet up at a restaurant. She was our first author that we hosted, and we didn't do a reading with her. It was more like a sit-down, like with a book lover. We sat, we talked, about her book, and she was talking about different things as far as what's going on with her life and business. And it was like hanging out with a friend. We never actually did like a book readings or book signings with authors in that sense. We schedule actual literary events for that. But when we invite authors to the meetings, they just come and just sit down with us and chill and hang out.
Have you ever thought about, and then I want to cover some of the chapters in your book, have you ever thought about having because you're starting to expand your reach here. Have you ever thought about, because there's a book club, and I don't want to say Circle of something, Sisters or something, a book club based out of, I think I want to say Georgia, and they have like an annual conference, and they bring in lots and lots of different authors, and they've got hundreds of book club members. And they'll have it like at a big hotel or somewhere, and it'll be like maybe a two-day event, and they do fun things, and then they also have the readings and the signings by the authors and whatnot. Have you ever thought about putting on a conference, not like a web conference, but a conference where people have to come in person and bring in authors and having different things for the book club members? They can maybe visit a couple of attractions in a city and then also do the book readings and the signings. Have you ever thought about doing that, or have you already done something like that?
Yeah, I did about 2005 and 2006, I did a Literary Art Cultural Fest with another group called I Am, It's About Me Incorporated. And kind of went on hiatus, but with my book, the funny thing about my book club is we all end up having babies around the same time, so we took a little break. But
okay.
In fact, I actually have an event coming up this December in Miami. It's called the Lit Diva Book Summit.
Okay.
It's going to feature different workshops for book clubs about simple things from starting a book club to use the technology. I'm also going to have a self-publishing workshop for writers that are interested in self-publishing their book, but they don't know how to do it. It's going to be a one-day event in North Miami Beach.
Oh, ooh, wow.
Yeah.
That's nice, and what a wonderful location. You down there in sunny Florida, so that's perfect. That is absolutely perfect. I'm looking at Chapter 6, Diva's Night Out, and it's something that I just flipped to. And just for our off-the-shelf listeners, and it starts. This is from Joy Farrington's book, A Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fab Book Club Meeting, which, again, is available at Amazon.com, or you can go to Joy's website, www.nubianlit.com, and find out more about her book, which just came hot off the presses. Presses this year, and she starts out, Diva's Night Out. In between meetings, you can organize a night on the town for your club. You leave the book discussions for another time and enjoy some girl time. You can hang out with your club and strengthen your bond. And some of the places she said they've gone is to New York for the Harlem Book Fair, which is a huge event that's covered on CNN's In, as well as Mexico and Jamaica. Woo! And some of the outing suggestions she has is a day at the spa. You can go to a museum, which is what I was mentioning with the conference thing, poetry readings, book fairs, go to a trip to another country, take a day cruise. So not only does the book club reading books and maybe having authors coming in and discussing books, but you're actually bonding and building a group of women or men if that you have and creating tight friendships with. I really like that approach that you and your suggestions in the Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fab Book Club meeting that you're making, not just to read and discuss the books, but to actually build a friendship. Have you found that when book clubs, if you hear from other book clubs who take some of the suggestions that you've raised in your book and on your website and in your networks, have you found that when they do these types of things that they find either their membership increases or their members become more involved? What's some of the feedback you've been getting from some of the suggestions that you've made?
I've been getting really good feedback. It always all blows my mind when somebody come back to me and like, wow, I love your book, you know? And one person even emailed me and said, this is the blueprint for book clubs. And it's just been phenomenal. But, yeah, the bond, when you hang out with somebody outside of your normal circles, like if you're working with coworkers and you take it to the restaurant after work, you start to build bonds with each other. And with book clubs, you already have that camaraderie because you all love books, all love the same things, and you sharing it with each other. And then when you go out with them and you start to see them in a different light, the next thing you know, your book club members are becoming your best friends or your sisters. Even nights out is just a way to help bring that about.
Yeah, I don't want to give away all the secrets in the book because I want our listeners here to run out and get a copy of it, A Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fab Book Club Meeting. But you give a tip on a book club book discussion that when you're reading a book, to jot down little notes for the book club members of things you want to discuss at the meeting, because we all have different, our minds work differently, we all have different ideals, things that jump out at us that might not jump out at somebody else, and then you help them to further explore the book when you share or raise a comment or an opinion or you share a question. I tell you, just doing this interview with you get me excited to be in a book club, because if you're in a fabulous book club, where the president is very creative and they just keep coming up with more and more and more ideas of how to strengthen that book club. It is just, again, you're building friendships and you're doing what you love. You're reading good books and you're with your friends discussing those books in an environment where there could be prize giveaways. You could have refreshments. You can meet at a restaurant. You can meet somewhere in a book club or any place else, and just have a lot of fun doing this. There was something else that you I noticed in your book club. Oh, your resources you have listed here for our listeners. If you want to do a teleconference, Joy has information on that. Video conferencing, social networks, different chat rooms that are geared toward literature. And then you have these lots of author websites and top 10 book clubs. Just there is so much in here, sample discussion questions. Oh, my goodness, this book is just got, you've got so much of different types of books, classics that give a book club ideals for things they can read. And then you also, I think, have some bookstores in here. How did you got so much in this book. How did you, this book is a lot more than what I thought it was going to be, I got to tell you. How did you do an outline and just say, you know, or as you just kept writing, did you just keep coming up with ideals on how to just make the book stronger and stronger and stronger? There is a wealth of information in here.
Yeah, the book was actually going to be a how to start a book club. That was my original goal. And when I started writing it, I just, you know, they say, you know, just go ahead and jump in and start writing. And I started writing about how to do a meeting. And next thing you know, I was writing a book about how to host a meeting, which was as I was writing it, seemed a little odd to me because I was like, do people just want to know about a meeting? But the more I got into it, the more I was like, you know what? I'm going to put in here what I want. If I was reading the book, if I was a reader, what would I want? What did I look for? And I went back to when I first started the book club. I was like, oh man, if they told me to do this, it would have saved me a lot of time. Or if I already knew what to look for, then I could have just jumped into it and do that that way, you know, because a lot of it was trial and error with me.
Yeah, yeah, and so you learned, you took your trials and your hits and misses, I guess, when you first started, and what you learned, and then to help save somebody else lots of time from having to do the same thing, then you wrote this book, and that is so invaluable. I can tell people, you can either learn things yourself and spend a whole lot of time with the trials and the errors and having your hits and misses, or you can take some advice from somebody who's already done it. They've gone through the trials and misses, so it's like they're saving you all that heartache, and just pick up their book and take what they've learned and save yourself weeks, months, and years of hits and misses, and just take it. Joy's been through this. She went down that hard road. Let me just take what advice she's given, and I don't have to have the misses that she might have had. I wanted to also talk about the Nubian Literary Network, which is where our paths crossed. If you could just tell our off-the-shelf listeners when you started the Nubian Literary Network, how they can join the network, how this network complements book clubs and writers and readers.
Well, I started Nubian Literary Network because I wanted to connect readers and authors, because I have a passion for both. I have a passion for writing. I have a passion for reading. And it just seemed like the two worlds were separate, and there was no need for it. So that's why I created Nubian Literary Network. So we all network with each other, connect with each other, and learn from each other. And through that, it just, you know, it started to grow. And I put it on a social network, which is Bing, NubianLitNetwork.bing.com. And it's free for anybody that joins. You just have to go to the website and sign up. On the website, there's a lot of information. Denise's radio show is on there, which I always listen to. And there's a lot of authors posting up their events there. It just started growing our own. It's interesting because I don't really have to put too much into it, I noticed, because everybody kind of taking the initiative, and it's continuing to grow, and I see people inviting other people to join in as well, and it's just a beautiful thing. And from Nubian Literary Network, I expanded to Lit Diva Network, which is for like-minded book lovers who have that entrepreneur spirit, and they want to take it to another level, but they're not exactly sure how. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Joy, because I do want to talk about the other groups and the information that you have. For example, I know you have you started a weekly teleconference, and where you bring in tell us again the company that does your business that does the teleconference. What's the name of it again?
Lit Diva Incorporated.
Lit Diva Incorporated. Okay, for our listeners, because she has several different businesses. She's got, again, the www.nubianlit.com, and that's spelled again NubianLit.com, and then she has the NubianLitNetwork.ning.com, which I am a member of, and that's how I met Joy. And then she also has LitDivaInc.com. And she has her book, so it's like she just doesn't have anything to do, but she recently started a weekly teleconference, and I know I came in on the tail end of Nikki Giovanni. Oh, she was so gracious. I'm telling you, she is a gracious woman. Her spirit, I was blown away by her graciousness and her spirit. I really was. But she has a Joy Farrington, who's our special guest here on Off the Shelf this morning, at Literary Diva Inc., which she recently started, and I know she got with a group of authors to kind of bounce some ideas off of them, what would work and what might not work. And I got to talk to you again about your entrepreneurial spirit, because it is very, very strong. At Lit Diva, the weekly teleconference, some of the authors, she has big name authors. Did you have, was it Donna Hill, or
Donna Hill, Frances Ray, Nikki Giovanni, like you mentioned. I don't know how I got these people. I'm not going to lie.
I emailed
them and I asked, and they said yes. I'm like, really?
Yeah, probably they sense your passion for books. That's what's drawing them in. So you bring in, she brings in authors in and lets them connect with callers. They may read. They don't generally, the calls I've been on haven't done a reading, but they will, just like I'm doing now with Joy, she'll ask some questions. They may have comments or different things. And at the end, she'll open it up so that the listeners can ask questions of the authors. If you could just tell us about some of the guests who will be appearing on upcoming teleconferences. I know in March you did something special for Women's History Month, but if you could just tell us about some of the other guests, and are you going to be having any male authors who are going to be appearing on upcoming teleconferences with Literary Diva, Inc.?
Yeah, it's, the teleconference is called Between the Sheets, and it's my way to get beyond the pages of the book and into, like, what authors were thinking when they were writing the book and the process of it. And upcoming guests, I have Rachel Berry. She's author and a poet. I also have Brandon Macy and Eric Pete that's going to run out this month. And then the first...
Is Eric Pete a former football player?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If he is, I don't know about it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You probably claim it if you ask No, but he's one of my favorite authors. He has a new book out called Crushed Ice, and so I'm looking forward to talking to him about it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then in the first week of May, I'm doing a book club teleconference on how to start a book club. And all the information is on newbeinlit.com. And also I have a Facebook group I recently started called How to Start a Book Club. So if you just type into the search engine, when you go to Facebook, type in the search, How to Start a Book Club, you'll be able to join and get the information regarding the conference for How to Start a Book Club the first week in May.
Wow. I know you're on Twitter, and you're on Facebook, you're on Ning, which is with the network that you're in, and then you also have written a book. Do you plan on writing any more books, Joy?
Yeah, I have an upcoming book I'm writing on. Actually, it's the tools that book clubs to use to expand their reach. I haven't picked the exact title yet, but it's going to be about, you know, how to start a blog, how to do a teleconference, how to host an event, different things like that. Like, it'll get deeper into expanding, because a lot of book clubs, once they start getting the bug of being in a book club and going on the website, networking other websites, they start to do more. They'll start doing bookmarks or hosting events for authors or hosting the authors that when they come into the town and, you know, helping them take around town. And it's just this phenomenon, in my opinion, where book clubs are the ambassadors for African-American authors.
Are you seeing more and more? You're the most active that I'm aware of. I'm sure there are others that maybe it's just because our paths crossed that is doing as much as you're doing. But are you aware of other book clubs that are doing as much on the Internet? My experience is that most book clubs have a lot of push off the Internet, the different things that they do. But can you tell us about some others, if you don't mind, book clubs that are really on the move?
Yeah, there's Casey Girlfriend Book Club. I just did an interview with the book club president, Tanisha Webb. She has two events coming up. The biggest one is this September. I think it's called Fall Into Books or Fall Into Literacy. I can't remember the exact name. I apologize, Tanisha. But she's having that in September. There's, I think probably the most popular is Raw Sisters. They're online.
Yes. Ooh, I almost forgot.
There's so many book clubs that do so much for authors, and a lot of authors realize that. They reach out to them, and I think a lot of the biggest way to sell a book is word of mouth. You could do print advertising, you could do interviews and stuff like that, but I will buy a book from my friend if she says, this book is good compared to if she was on, that person was on Oprah, and Oprah said it was good, you know? You trust your friends more than you trust the media.
And that's for any product or service. That's been for years.
Yeah.
That's why they always tell business owners, you've got to take care of your current customers, you know, as well as going out and getting new customers, because those current customers bring in a lot of new customers, and when they're loyal, man, they can, if you treat them right, they'll stick with you for a long, long, long time. I wanted to ask, what can you let our listeners know so they can be on the lookout, what day and time or your teleconferences? Do you have them at different days and times? Or for our listeners here, do you have them like on a Tuesday at 8 o'clock? When do you have the weekly teleconferences?
They've been Wednesdays at 9, starting April 21st. They're going to start at 10 o'clock on every Wednesday. Every once in a while I have, like last month, because it was Women History Month, I did a lot of interviews with women authors, so I did Sundays as well. But for the most part, they're Wednesdays at 10 o'clock beginning April 21st. And the one on the 14th, one upcoming tweet this Wednesday with Rachel Berry is at 9 o'clock.
And so this is at 10 o'clock at night. So when,
right.
Generally starting late April, it'll be Wednesdays at 10 o'clock at night. And how can our listeners, Joy, I know you have to register to get a passcode. Tell them how they can register to get a passcode so they can tune in to your teleconference because you're having these fabulous authors coming on.
Well, they could join the mailing list at nubianlit.com, NUBIANLIT.com. They could also get the information on there as well. I keep the website pretty updated with what's going on as far as teleconferences and events, so they could go there as well.
Okay, and to our authors who are listening, our writers at Off the Shelf, I do know that Joy had posted something about a blogging job, and it's probably already been filled with Alicia Keys, but she also at NubianLit.com, you want to bookmark this website because you can find out about her teleconferences, the new book that she's coming out, as well as get a copy of A Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fab Book Club Meeting, which you can get either through Joy's website, NubianLit.com, or Amazon.com. There is so much in this book, and it's not going to take you forever to read the book. It's like 80 pages, but there's a wealth of information in here, and I really encourage anybody who's thinking about starting a book club, who's in a book club, whether they're a member or a book club president, to pick up a copy of that book. And even just authors and readers, you can get ideas, and especially the resource section. Anybody who loves literature could benefit from the resource section, including the resources on video conferencing and teleconferencing that she includes at the back of the book. If authors want to appear on a Literary Diva, Inc., on an upcoming teleconference, how can they contact you, Joy?
They can email me at nubianlit@gmail.com, NUBIANLIT@gmail.com.
Okay, and just give you information, I guess, on the title of their book, their website URL.
Yeah, just let me know, you're interested in doing a teleconference with me, and I'll send them the available dates. It's called Between the Sheets, so if they put that in the subject line, I'll know exactly what they're talking about.
Okay. You mentioned in your book, A Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fab Book Club Meeting, understanding the book club's purpose. So it's like when you start a book club, you need to understand the reason that you created the purpose for the book club. What types of purposes could a book club have? And I would imagine that most people probably would just think just to get together and talk about a book. Is that enough?
No, it's not enough. I think if you have a purpose behind what you're doing, it will guide your book club, and it will actually keep members around. Because I think the hardest thing is keeping the members. It's not getting them; it's keeping them. And if you have a purpose, like for instance, if you decide that you want to read only Christian fiction, then the people who are going to join the group will know that, and they're like, "Okay, this is our purpose. We're going to only read this," and you're going to attract the people that you want to attract to your book club, the ones who are interested in that. Like my book club, we only read African-American books because we want to support African-American books.
That's an interesting twist. I can tell you when I first started as a writer, I thought, oh, my book is for everybody. And I actually had someone, an author, ask me a question about a book, and I was giving them some suggestions for the book to gear it to when you write it so that a good target – you can really reach a certain target audience and pull them in. And I think sometimes as new writers and maybe as book club presidents, we can be tempted to think, oh, my book club is for everybody. And it's not that you would turn anyone away, but I have found that the more you specialize, the more you can reach a certain target audience. Like maybe you only want to reach people who read mysteries that are set in the 1940s or whatever. You'd be surprised how many people fit that category that would come in and just gobble up and buy your books. So
right.
So to just to kind of narrowly focus it, to some people, Joy, that sounds like you are they might think they're not going to get that many people because it's, you say you only do like African-American literature. Some people would think if you open it up to every kind of book that you'd read, you'd get a whole lot more members. But I have found the more you specialize sometimes, you can pull in a greater audience. I would imagine that the greatest challenge, and you mentioned this, that a book club could have is keeping their members actively engaged. Can you tell us, for our listeners who haven't read the book and without giving away too many secrets, which is something I don't want to do in your book, how do you keep the members in your book club engaged? I know you guys went to Mexico and Jamaica, and that'll do it, but there's some other things that you do to keep your members engaged. How many members are in your book club?
Currently,
if you don't mind telling
members.
Us.
No, I don't mind. We have 12 members right now.
Okay.
I try to cap it off at 15 because I feel like too many people in a book club, if you don't have the resources for it, it doesn't really benefit anybody because people start to get lost in the group.
Can you I would have never thought that, and I've heard a lot of book clubs say the maximum we'll have is 20. We're not having they're just not going a person over that. Why is that, Joy? Why is that? Why couldn't a book club have 500 members? Why is that?
It's because you lose the intimacy of the book club. Like, if you have 500 members, then you probably see that book club has different chapters throughout the city. Or throughout the country, because if you have 500, you probably deal with 300 to actually show up, and it becomes a party. It doesn't become a book club meeting. It becomes everybody just hanging out and talking, and using the book club as an excuse for being there. So
okay.
The more people you have, the less you lose the essence of the purpose of being together. Which is why I think a lot of people cap it off. Like, the highest I've seen a book club membership would be about 25. And again, once they start to get bigger than that, then that's when you start to see different chapters opening up throughout the country and the city.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. So you want to keep it just an intimate group of people you're building your friendships and then enjoying discussing the books. This is something that I have learned from just this interview with you, is that a book club is more than just there to discuss books. And I don't know why I wouldn't have thought of that before, but you're actually – it's like a network of friends. You're building a network of friends who – are reading books that they all enjoy together, similar books that they enjoy, and then coming together to discuss them. Can you give us some tips on picking a book of the month? If you have, let's say, 12 to 20 members, and they don't all maybe want to read the same book, how do you deal with that? How do you decide each month on which book the group is going to read if everybody's not really all for reading the same book?
Well, I will tell everybody to first have an open mind because you'll never know what's between those pages till you start reading it. But the best way to go about that is every month somebody will pick a new book, you know, and they host that meeting and they, whether the club likes it or not, if it's a miss, then, you know, you talk bad about the book and you laugh over it. If you enjoy it, you gush over it. But either way, whether a book is good or bad is not really – the purpose of the book club, funny enough. At the end of the day, it's not even about the book. And it's about it's about coming together and talking about that book. Because when you have a group of book lovers together, they just you love talking about a book, whether you like it or not. And you don't get that in the outside world, which is why people create book clubs, because they want to talk about the book they just read and they want to call their best friend about it and talk about they like this person, but oh my god, I can't believe she did that in the book, and you know, and that's the point of a book club. So just keep an open mind and don't worry about if you're gonna like the book or not. It's not really the point if you're gonna like the book or not. It's to explore new books, explore new things, and you never know, you might start reading a different genre that you never thought you liked before because your book club member suggested it.
Wow, you know, you are giving me a real education. So I can only imagine for off-the-shelf listeners who aren't already members of book clubs, and hopefully a lot of people will go out and join some book clubs after this. You really giving me an education. As many years as I've been in literature, just listening to you talk, and so I can, again, for our listeners here at Off the Shelf, I do encourage you to get Joy's book. You can see she's just a wealth of knowledge, and it's titled A Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fab Book Club Meeting. You can go to Amazon.com right now and pick up a copy, or you can go to NubianLit.com, NubianLit.com, and pick up a copy, and also learn about the teleconferences that Joy has each week, which she's going to start in late April on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock at night Eastern Standard Time, where she's brought in like Nikki Giovanni, Donna Hill. She's brought in some major authors, and Eric Pete, up and an upcoming author that she is going to have on a teleconference. It's free to join her teleconferences. You just have to register and get a passcode, and I think they last about a half an hour. And I have learned something from each one that I have dialed into and greatly enjoyed them. I want to talk next about, because you are just so expanding your horizons, social networking. This is for our off-the-shelf listeners who might be business owners, entrepreneurs, want to start their business or grow their book sales, and people hear so much, or their book clubs, people hear so much about social networking today and how you can market your products or services and then start making goo gobs of money and bringing in lots of members, et cetera, et cetera. It's become very popular among writers and artists, business leaders as a whole. They're major corporations who pay people to blog for them. Yet I've seen people, Joy, because I'm a member of maybe actively 6 or 7 networks. I don't think joining 40 or 50 maybe is the way to go. But I've seen people join networks, post their book covers or some information about something that they're working on. They never blog, never respond to a forum discussion, nothing. They just come in, put up their stuff, and vanish. Do you see this happen more, and do you consider this to be true social networking?
Yeah, I see that happen a lot, and it's actually considered rude. There's a thing called social netiquette, and going on somebody's Facebook page, for example, like going on Denise's page and posting, oh, I have a book out, and it's this, this, and this, and then that's it, and disappearing is considered rude because you're not putting in the investment needed to be in a social media. It's a lot of work. Like you said, you're not in 40, you're in 7. And out of that 7, to be actively participating, it takes a lot of time, but at the same time, there's a huge payoff for it. And social media is, for anybody who's not doing it, you're missing out because there's so many different people out there that you can meet and network and connect with, that you'll be surprised, and they'll start looking for you before, and you don't even realize they're looking for you until you're on that network.
That's how I met Joy at NubianLitNetwork.ning.com, and I'm so glad I did. I met Rachel Berry, actually, through social networking. And one of the women's sites I'm on is, and you might find this beneficial, Joy, is Onyx Woman Network, and Ola Jackson. She's a phenomenal woman out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She started that. She's got over 1,000 members, but she really keeps her membership, I think, tight. She wants professional women who are serious about their businesses to join. I don't see where she just lets anybody join her group. So she keeps a tight focus on who she lets join her group. These are sharp, sharp, sharp businesswomen, and they're serious about what they're doing the same way that you are. They're taking their career, their passion very seriously. But even Ola would mention, like, to the group members that you got to be active to network. I make myself go into different sites that I'm a member of. I tell myself, I try to go in once a week, if not once a week, a couple of times a month, and post something, respond to somebody's question, do something other than just put up your product and disappear, because that's not networking. And you can make friendships and connections that somebody can tell you about a conference that they heard about in Miami, Florida, you never would have known about if you hadn't met them in a social network. Or somebody can tell you about a bookstore owner who's looking to bring in an author, and you might sell 100 books at that bookstore, but you never would have known about it had you not actively is the word, participated in any social networks. I want to also ask you, have you ever thought about working with schools and community organizations to strengthen literacy amongst our youth and to encourage, you know, a love for reading like you had when you were a child? And also you could use that to expand your networks as well. Have you thought about reaching out to schools and community organizations? Could be like the Boys Club, Girls Club, libraries, schools in your area.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I used to be an after-school teacher at the YMCA, and it's always been, since I started the book club and New Me Literary Network, I always wanted to do something with the after-school, and it's been my plan for next year to begin doing that. So that's my upcoming project, start book clubs and different after-school programs.
Wow, and again, I think that, see, these are things that, they may be going on now, but certainly just because I'm not hearing about them doesn't mean it's not happening. But I think that's good that you're doing that. Something about you that I picked up, it's just in your spirit, and you might not even be aware of it. You do seem to have that, I guess, at the top priority for you for a lot of things you do. I know you want to grow your own business and sell your books and whatnot, but I think your main priority seems to be sort of like, I see you almost like a, not a needlework person, but somebody who pulls people together. The same way you see somebody crocheting or needlework, pulling those threads together, like you pull people together, and that's what creates community and strong community, and that's what I see as one of your main passions. So it's not a surprising that you're doing book clubs and the different things you do, but you seem to, like, bring people together, and I think that's a fabulous, fabulous thing. Who are some of your favorite writers, Joy, and what is it about their work that you appreciate most? I can only imagine how many books you've read over the years.
You know, this is like my hardest question, because I have so many favorite writers and authors. It's like, it's ridiculous. But, I mentioned Eric Pease. There's also Trista Russell and Donna Hill is fabulous. I love Nika Giovanni Poems and Zoya Neale Hurston. It's just, I mean, the list goes on and on. It's too many to list. There's too many people out there. And then when I read your book, The Long Walk Up, I was like, oh, my God, Denise is my favorite author now.
Oh, thank you. Do you find yourself, Joy, reading? What is your favorite genre? If you had to say what your favorite genre is it your mystery? I'm thinking, when you say Donna Hill, I'm thinking, or is it romance? Is it mystery? If you find yourself liking books the most, would you say what category would you say they fall in the most?
I actually like the classics the most, like Pride and Prejudice. And when I was a kid, I read Anne of Green Gables series. I can't even tell you how many times, to like the spine fell off. And I like the old settings, the books set in England and things like that. Those are actually probably my favorite genre. And currently, I'll have to say sci-fi, fantasy as well are on my top list. So I guess the top three will be classics and sci-fi, fantasy.
Okay. Do you or have you thought about writing articles, because this is another way for our listeners here at Off the Shelf. I don't care if you have a product, whether it's a book or you have a service that you want to offer to the public, writing articles and including your byline and your URL in your articles and sending them out to, like, they've got different sites and they don't come to my mind just now, but different sites where you can submit your articles, and they'll go out to like hundreds of places that do accept articles on the internet, and then you get your ranking, your URL ranking just keeps going up because you have more and more links feeding back into your URL. But have you ever thought about, or do you write articles related to, because you are definitely know what you're talking about, Joy. You're not just talking about it. You've done it. You started off creating your own book club. and you've got the suggestions that you have in your book and just the places that your book club have gone already in just 6 to 7 years, I think is amazing. They're probably book clubs older than that that have never gone to Jamaica or Mexico. Just the fact that you do those things would make somebody want to join a book club, because you get a discount for having a group of people going rather than going there by yourself. But have you ever thought about writing articles? You're an expert at this. You truly are.
I thought about it. I haven't actually take that final leap yet. It's one of those things that's kind of, you know, when you know your stuff you should do, but you're like, oh, man, but if I start doing that, then I'm going to have to continue doing it. So I've been kind of fighting. But,
okay.
Yeah, I know I need to start writing articles. I've been told that a couple of times, actually, that I need to start putting some stuff out there.
Okay. And some of the, what is this? I'm looking at some of your book club book discussion questions, and there is a book that you are referencing by Black Coffee, Time to Learn, Time Will Reveal. So some of the types of book club, as we come down to the very last few minutes of our interview here at Off the Shelf with Joy Farrington, a phenomenal woman who you can find at NubianLit.com. But some of the sample questions, that discussions questions that Joy writes is, for this particular book, did you believe that many marriages were arranged by elders and African-American families before you read this book? How important is loyalty in a family, in a relationship? And then you go on to talk about what is the average age of the crew girls when they first experienced sex. And this must go back to the book here by Black Coffee, Time to Learn, Time Will Reveal. Where do you come up with these discussion questions? Do you come up with them? Are you able to come up with, or any book club president, is it easier as you get to know your book club members to know the type of things they would be interested in? Are you deliberately trying to come up with questions that you think they would never even think of, just to get them the thought process going?
Well, the book discussion questions in the back of the book was actually provided by the authors themselves. But as for book club presidents, it could be a little intimidating, which is why I wrote that chapter in the book about, you know, this is the book discussion questions, how's the best way to do it? Because you sit there and start thinking about, well, what questions besides, you know, do you like the book? What can we talk about? And it's really not that hard when you start to dig deep into it. And for me, the easiest way to get the group going is have everybody come up with one or two questions. So it's not all on the hostess or the book club president to come up with 10 to 12 questions, and everybody gets feedback into it. And I also, in the book, I include different activities you could do to during a meeting regarding book discussion. Like you could have one person write the sentence and then put it all in one pile. You know, you just randomly draw the questions out so you can make it a little fun. The book discussion questions, they really need to be open-ended, though. I wanted to point that out, because if you just have, you know, do you like the book, and they say yes or no, what are you going to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're there for an hour, and you just answer the whole question right there, and that's it. And it's so much more that you dig deep into it. You know, you can talk about the characters, the setting, the writing tone of the author. Do you like the way she brought this character out? Or, you know, do you have that sense of that person was shady? Do you get that undertone throughout the book? You know, things like that. It's all there. And when you're reading it, the best thing to do is actually, as soon as you have that question in your head, just to write it down. Like, keep a notepad with you or some post-its, and just write it down as you're reading it, and then bring it with you at the book club meeting.
I wanted to ask you before we do close, we have 7 minutes left. This is important to me. What advice would you give to writers, Joy, who are seeking ways to connect with book clubs so they can do more readings and signings with book clubs? Because if you get enough book clubs interested in your book, and again, going back to Oprah, who, of course, she can reach millions and millions of people, but if you get enough, there are some large book clubs out here, and a lot of them might be on the web. They might not meet in person, but they may have hundreds of thousands of members, and then others, of course, meet, like your book club does, in person. What advice would you give to writers so that they can connect with book clubs, so that they can have their book selected as a book to read? And is that process different for a book club that just meets on the internet versus one that meets in person?
Yeah, it is different because you have to approach it differently. If they're meeting in person and you're in your city, you could ask them if you could be invited to one of their meetings. Whereas if they're online, you know, you probably have to use teleconference service or Skype for that. But the best way to approach them is actually not to send them your book information. I get that all the time, and it doesn't really tell me anything about the author. You know, this is my book. This is the title of my book. A Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fat Book Club Meeting. This is what it's about. I hope your book club purchases the book, and that's it. And it's great knowing about that book, but it doesn't tell me anything. It doesn't tell me I want to meet your book club. I live in your city, and it would be nice if maybe we could go out for drinks one day. It doesn't tell us anything. It just tells us you have a book. So I think if you look at it more like social media, connect with them, you know, talk to them, say, hey, I saw you guys online. You guys are doing a great job. I just want to give you a shout-out. And every once in a while, just pop in and out. Eventually, they're going to come to you.
Okay, so you want to build – So, and see, you are just you teaching today, Joy. It's just, again, you want to build a relationship, the same thing that
right.
the book club is trying to do to build relationships, and you're like a visiting friend, per se. If you approach it just like with social networking, if you approach it with your main priority is simply to sell your book, then you might kind of turn some people off or be turned away, because you have to keep in mind that there are maybe hundreds of authors doing what you're doing. But if you reach out to them like you've done some research on a book club, and that's why you want to come and appear with them, you actually want to connect with the book club members and take it from a different approach, then that will probably work better. I don't think many authors would have thought what you just said is the way to approach it. I think most authors would have sent a media kit and a copy of their book, and would have thought that would do it. And then when it doesn't work, they're like, "What am I doing wrong?"
And that's exactly what you're doing wrong, because we're not agents, you know. So sending us your media kit is not working with what we love. We love books and love talking about books. So work that, you know. Just sit there and say, "Hey, I live where you guys live. You guys want to meet at Starbucks?" And that's it. They'll say yes to that before they'll say yes to choosing your book of the month. You got to warm up into that, because book clubs love authors. Book clubs love authors. They love meeting them. They love talking to them. They go to their book signings. They go to their events. And once they build a relationship with that author, they're golden, because they'll defend them to the end. You know what I mean? So,
wow.
Build up that relationship first. If they decide to choose your book of the month, that's on them. If they don't, they don't. But build up that relationship, and everything else will follow. Because even if they don't decide, they're still talking about you. When they're networking with other book clubs, they will talk about you. So build that relationship up first, and everything else will work itself out.
So good advice. I hope our writer friends here at Off the Shelf are listening to what Joy's saying, because she knows of other book clubs, and she herself is running a book club, and she has lots of followers, trust me. So she knows what she's talking about. As we come down to the last 2 minutes, I got to ask you this, Joy. You've read a lot of books. You're in a book club. You know how to spread the work. You know how to work the social networks, because you do it, and you do it successfully. Have you ever thought about writing a novel yourself?
I thought about it when I was a kid, but I don't know, because I have this bad habit of starting stuff and not finishing it. So I have a lot of chapter ones and chapter twos that I never completed. So if I actually sit down one day and get to it, I would love to write a novel. But I'm probably going to have to lock myself up in a cabin somewhere and get it done.
I hope you do. I'm sure it would be a good one. With all the experiences that you have had, I want to ask you, as we come down to our last minute here at Off the Shelf, just two last questions. Who, and we only have a minute left, who modeled courage for you? Because you also you have obviously courage, because you've launched out and done so many things on your own. Who is it? Somebody in your family, somebody you came in contact with that you saw launch out and do what they wanted to do? Who modeled that for you?
That has to be my family. I have a strong knit family that support each other in everything we do. So I'm not scared to do something, because I know they always have my back. So I have to say my family in general. You know, my grandma, my mom, my aunts, my cousins. Everybody's always there to support each other.
Well, I think that's fabulous, and that's something I like to ask a lot of our guests, and I usually do get it somebody in our family. So as we are older adults, we're modeling things for the younger people in our families. I think it's important to keep that in mind, that we show them how not to quit and how to go after what they really want by doing that ourselves. And so as we come down to the last 60 seconds of the show, I got to thank Joy Farrington again. Your spirit, you have such a beautiful spirit. She is actually online at NubianLit.com, NubianLit.com. I encourage you to visit her. She has a fabulous new book. She starts out with the history of African American book clubs, suggestions, resources, website links, social networking, discussion guides, you name it for a book club. And the book is titled
I just want
Literary
to add that if you buy the book online at NubianLit.com, it comes you if it's as a free gift, you get How to Start a Book Club as well, ebook.
Okay. A Literary Diva's Guide to Hosting a Fab Book Club Meeting. You can get it at Amazon.com. If you get it from NubianLit.com, you're going to get a free gift with the book. Want to thank Joy Farrington. Please go stop in and visit her at www.NubianLit.com. Bookmark her website. You can tune into her weekly teleconferences starting late April, Wednesday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am so happy to have had you here with us today, Joy. Thanks for all you do for writers and readers and book clubs and community. To our off-the-shelf listeners, thank you for being here with us again. This Saturday we will continue to bring you upwardly moving and established people in the literary community, writers and editors and publishers. And Joy is our first book club president that we've had on here, so we're honored to have her. Remember that you are so loved, so truly valued, and so blessed. Bye for now. Joy, I'll shoot you email.
Bye-bye.